The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back.
Good evening.
Lord knows they'll try.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller this Friday, March 10th, 2017. And as always, welcome. It's been a busy 6 months this week, hasn't it? In the era of Trump. Day 50 of Donald Trump, President Donald Trump's first 100 days in office. And as I keep saying, the news cycle just gets compressed more and more and more, doesn't it? Things happening so fast, it's unbelievable. Let's recap the week briefly of the Trump White House, shall we? Going back perhaps to Sunday, March 5th, the Trump administration called for congressional investigative committees amid inquiries into Russia meddling, the Russian influence campaign, in the regarding the 2016 election cycle to, quote, determine whether executive branch investigative powers were abused in 2016. Following his allegation Saturday that former President Obama requested his phones be tapped, and the allegation was very interesting indeed. I want to come back to that, actually, and we will give you intelligence insider's take on the influence campaign in light of the WikiLeaks CIA Vault 7 release earlier this week. On what was that, Tuesday? It's been a long week, hasn't it? On the 6th, the Trump administration signed Donald Trump signed his revised executive order suspending the U.S. refugee program and entry for travelers from six mostly Muslim countries, as some people put it. On the same day, he spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu by phone. Coincidence, perhaps, maybe not. The only country not included in the original seven was Iraq in the travel restriction program, the travel ban or restriction. And it's interesting, as some folks have observed, to call it a Muslim ban is disingenuous, because if it really was, it would include the top three offenders in terms of terrorist aggression acts on Americans, and those countries would be Saudi Arabia, obviously, United Arab Emirates, and Egypt. There are some 45 countries around the world that are considered Muslim or mostly Muslim countries, and of course, six or seven does not represent a Muslim ban. It's interesting that it's been spun that way. Day 47 was the wonderful new health care bill that was now out for review, according to Donald Trump's tweet. And so that was interesting. It's been an interesting week in terms of the AHCA discussion versus the ACA, And no one has done more stumping for the AHCA, obviously, than House Speaker Paul Ryan, who gave a very eloquent sales pitch. What was that, yesterday or the day before? On the three-step process to repeal and replace. And it's interesting how Washington has, D.C. has flip-flopped on a number of issues. More on that in a minute. Well, actually, since we're on the subject, the next day was the infamous dinner, day 48, among other notable events. Donald Trump hosted Senator and Mrs. Ted Cruz and family for dinner. That was interesting. So speaking of the flip-flopping, Paul Ryan, Ted Cruz, Ambassador Nikki Haley, etc., on the campaign trail versus during the Trump administration, it's very interesting that we've seen the flip-flopping. And so folks have conjectured what that dinner conversation might have been like. And of course, Sean Spicer said it was had some fond remarks the following day, but still, based on the vitriolic campaign trail rhetoric from both sides, from Ted Cruz and Donald Trump in particular, it would be interesting to be a fly on the wall at that dinner discussion. It's interesting how folks have cowed to power and are sucking up to power in the Trump administration. It's a bit unsettling, I must say, in light of Hayek's words in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, perhaps, in particular. Do we have that clip of those dinner remarks ready from MSNBC and others? Okay. Well, speaking of the remarks, here are some of those remarks from the campaign trail.
Cruz, it's hard for me to say anything bad about Cruz because he says such good things about me.
You know, I think most people know exactly what New York values are.
Is the romance over now?
Trying to associate
Do you
down?
Still like Ted Cruz?
I guess the romance is over because he hit me. I didn't hit him. I hit him after the fact. And so I guess the romance is over.
That guy lies. That guy does not tell the truth. You know, he holds up his Bible and then he lies. Let me tell you, that guy lies. He is a liar.
He is like a little baby. Soft, weak little baby.
I want to congratulate Ted on Maine and on Kansas. And he should do well in Maine because it's very close to Canada. Let's face it.
Trump threatening Cruz's wife on Twitter. Be careful, lying Ted, or I'll spill the beans on your wife.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward and leave Heidi the hell alone.
And if lying Ted Cruz came here, you would never stand up like that, I can tell you.
His father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
Donald Trump alleges that my dad was involved in assassinating JFK. Now, let's be clear. This is nuts. This man is a pathological liar. The man is utterly amoral. Morality does not exist for him. The idea of our daughters coming home and repeating any word that man says horrifies me.
And tonight we are told he brought those daughters to dinner at the White House. Well, look at the time. Who has room for dessert? We had a lovely evening. That is our broadcast for tonight. Thank you for being here with us. Hardball begins right now.
And who better to recap those remarks than Brian Williams, eh? Speaking of the nation of post-truth fake news in America these days. So it would be interesting, as I said, to be a fly on the wall during the dinner on day 48 this week of the Trump White House hosting Senator and Mrs. Ted Cruz and family. Day 49, listening sessions with CEOs of small and community banks, legislative affairs lunch, met with DHS Secretary Kelly and CIA Director Pompeo, along with Vice President Pence. That had to be interesting in light of the WikiLeaks revelations this week with regard to, again, CIA Vault 7, the extensive cache of hacking resources and tools that have found their way out into the public domain, essentially. And there are some stories that have kind of escaped notice this week. One of the stories that should be a huge story in light of the CIA scandal, which has all been all but been verified by the CIA, essentially, is the fact that the Intel community, the IC at large, is predominantly outsourced. And some listeners of this network and my broadcast, Road Warrior Radio, here on Republic Broadcasting Network, know that R.J. Hillhouse wrote the book on the subject, literally and figuratively, of outsourcing the intelligence community and the CIA in particular. You can find more about her book on the subject of outsourcing, published 10 years ago back in 2007, and more on this subject at her website for that subject matter, ciaoutsourcing.blogspot.com. Very interesting information. One bit of information that I will key in on with regard to that subject is a slide she fortuitously was able to get a hold of a copy of a presentation, an intelligence community presentation, which included a slideshow, a PowerPoint slideshow, and one of the slides contained this information: government employee versus contractor employee. So here is the contrast between government employee and contractor employee. And when you think about how the CIA operates, and the CIA in particular, and the layers of deception, the layers of compartmentalization to maintain what has come to be known as plausible deniability, so that the right hand doesn't entirely know what the left hand is doing, so each can claim neither knew what was going on, and therefore nothing was really happening. Intrigue and deception, of course, Machiavellian in nature, as it is, and this is kind of a modus operandi that is beginning to not just infiltrate and infect the government at large and America in general, but is becoming a kind of a prevailing mindset, which is why you see more and more stories in recent years kind of transitioning, really. The old stories would posit and ask the question, are there sociopaths in corporate leadership? How to spot a sociopath in corporate leadership? And those have softly transitioned, and subtly, probably imperceptibly to some folks, from those story headlines to now we see that the sociopaths and even psychopaths, the folks that we were putting in prison 30, 40, 50 years ago, are now the media darlings, the corporate darlings. And sociopaths will obviously say and do anything to get ahead, regardless of morality or conscience, because they don't suffer from a crisis of conscience, if you will, obviously. So in a world of win at all costs, which used to be under the umbrella of what the founders described as virtue, morality, and religion, absent that environment, is now a winner-take-all game of Machiavellian proportions, in which essentially the criminals win because they're willing to do things the rest of us aren't. But back to the slide. The slide contains this contrast between government employee versus contractor employee. And if you think about it, the government employee is at least somewhat, or the presumption is the government employee is somewhat accountable. But even that is somewhat of a specious narrative, because if you're familiar with how the administrative fourth branch of the federal government works and the fact that it has subsumed the three other branches, consolidating all powers and functions duly constituted to itself, unto itself, and that was formalized, if you're not familiar, by Congress when Congress passed the Administrative Procedure Act back in 1946 during that passage, lest we wonder, Senator Pat McCarran, then Senate Judiciary Chair, said, "We have created a fourth branch," and he clarified several times. So now we have the, by the Constitution, we have the executive, legislative, and judicial, and now we have created the administrative. It contains, ostensibly, the administrative agencies, which they say touch the citizen. When you think about it, the citizen in America is not touched by the White House, Capitol Hill, the Supreme Court. It's these proliferation of bureaus and agencies, as Reagan may have put it. The Social Security Administration, the IRS, Homeland Security, TSA at the airport, all of the, you know, and TSA obviously literally touches the citizen in very unscrupulous sort of ways. But the contrast between the government employee, which is supposed to have accountability, and in the administrative state world, fourth branch, not really. But this is just another layer of separation from accountability. Government employee versus contractor employee. Government employee, taxpayer-funded salary. Contractor employee, private business salary. Government employee, fiduciary obligation to serve. Contractor employee, fiduciary duty to employer only. Government employee, fiduciary obligation to serve the public good and self-determinant, versus contractor employee, fiduciary duty to employer only. Government employee, no profit motive. Contractor employee, obviously profit motive, at least to some degree. Government employee, universal and strict conduct standards. Contractor employee, employers have diverse and different standards. Government employee, 49% of all personnel in DIA office space as of 2005. Contractor employee, contractor can reassign employee from one contract to another at whim. And 51% of personnel in DIA office space as of 2005. So the intelligence community at large has essentially been predominantly outsourced, which has a variety of implications, none of them good. When you start to think about how this bureaucratic monolith, unaccountable as it is morphing, continuing to morph. You think about the Eric Prince era, for example, and his dealings through the now somewhat defunct Blackwater, which has changed its name several times to escape public scrutiny, Blackwater to Z to Academy, and now his dealings in China, but still in the ear of the sitting president on a regular basis. And that's concerning because it lends itself to the CNP, the Council for National Policy, right-wing religious extremist mantra, if you will, which is sort of a counter-narrative to Al-Qaeda and ISIS, the Mujahideen morphing, CIA's creation, obviously, of the Mujahideen. So all of these narratives seem to fold in together. These seemingly competing narratives really are different sides of the same coin, created by intrigue and deception. And all of that seems to lend itself to Albert Pike's letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, allegedly spurious as it is, back in 1871, outlining three world wars, the third to be conducted by colliding or fomenting the conflict between the using agent provocateurs to foment the a contrived conflict between political Zionism, which is most notably represented in the Nation of Israel, which is not, and political Islam. And he was describing that accurately. Be right back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat. Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO-free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So just to recap and we'll move on, the conflict between what's reported or considered to be Israel, but not the biblical Israel, is Israel Israel? I don't think so. The conflict between political Zionism, represented in Israel, and political Islam, represented in these invisible boogeymen, the Mujahideen morphing into Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Al-Nusra Front, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, the Khorasan Group, etc., etc. So those sides collided together, drawing people in ways that we don't even see. It's interesting, or perhaps realize, very subtle, sort of imperceptible ways. But I don't want to dive into that too much at the moment. I want to get back to some of the top stories of the week. And speaking of some of the top stories of the week, depends on who you ask, right? This is what the AP considers some of the top stories of the week.
This is AP News Minute. President Donald Trump met Friday with the House of Representatives committee leaders who are aiding the drive to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Trump reiterated that action is needed now to save consumers from what he says is the coming Obamacare disaster. American Indians and their supporters rallied outside the White House Friday, opposing the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. A federal judge this week declined to halt construction of the final section of the $3.8 billion pipeline, meaning oil could begin flowing through it as early as next week. Environmental experts are checking for ethanol leaks after a fiery freight train derailment in northwest Iowa. Fire officials are letting the blaze burn itself out, but want to make sure that the ethanol didn't leak from the 27 tanker cars that derailed. And three Malaysian tiger cubs have an unlikely nanny at the Cincinnati Zoo. It's Blakely, the Australian shepherd dog. The mother of the cubs ignored them since they were born last month, so the zoo and Blakely have taken over their care. Suzanne Yee Gaffney, The Associated Press, with AP News Minute.
Well, isn't that fun? Blakely and the Cincinnati Zoo are caring for the tiger cubs, the new nanny. That's a waste of our time, isn't it? But the healthcare issues, the march against the Dakota Pipeline, speaking of marches, and we had the International Women's Day protests and marches, A Day Without a Woman, and that was interesting. I guess those folks probably did their homework, and they know that the International Women's Day movement was started by socialists, and really nothing has changed since then, 100 or so years later, but I digress. So these are some of the stories the world is pointing to, or Western media, I suppose. And unfortunately, we are not given the proper treatment of the issues that we should, I suppose. The ones that should fill our consciousness are sadly lacking. We'll get back to more on the hacking the CIA Vault 7 revelations from the WikiLeaks release earlier this week in a bit upcoming. It's interesting, you know, this kind of turns a lot of these narratives on their ear, the Russian influence campaign. It's interesting, for instance, that based on the revelations from WikiLeaks Vault 7 release, which is just a minute portion of what's to be released. It's somewhere around a million pages, it sounds like, and that doesn't include the source code, which hopefully won't be released. But that's floating around. Again, getting back to my point with the contractors and how that entire bureaucratic monolith, not just the CIA as an agency unaccountable, but the intelligence community at large, and beyond the United States intelligence community, particularly in light of Obama's changes to Executive Order 12333 just prior to leaving office that allow for virtually unchecked sharing of intelligence across agencies. Does that include the contractors? Of course it does. And where does that end? A bunch of private corporations that now have viruses, and what could possibly go wrong there, right?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say. About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendolite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendolite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Today's National Intel Report, this Friday, March 10th, 2017. I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller. Obviously, I am the regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting, the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're kind of recapping the week. As far as the National Intel Report is concerned, we'll get to the State of the Union, hopefully kind of drawing all of this together. By the way, the phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And so let's talk about the week in review. Again, there were the marches and protests coordinated largely by the organizers of the women's, or not the organizers, the leaders, the co-leaders of the women's march movement, Linda Sarsour and Tamika Mallory, It was interesting. They were arrested together. And did you see them photographed, the photograph taken from the back of the paddy wagon? Isn't that interesting? How do you suppose that was possible? It was a staged photo op, wasn't it? So we had the International Women's Day celebrated by four states closing schools so that women could participate in showing the world, America in particular, that they deserve respect. I think that Fox News contributor Rachel Campos Duffy summarized it best with her appearance on Fox News.
This march was not really about women's rights or equality for women, because if it was, I think we would have seen the march move to the front of the Saudi Arabian embassy. You have to ask yourself, why would a billionaire like George Soros fund all these organizations behind it? The reason is he's had a lifelong dream of one world government, of elites redistributing wealth and setting up rules for the rest of us. And the biggest existential threat to the advancements he's made through his investment of President Obama and also his investment in the Hillary campaign, which he didn't get a lot out of, is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the biggest threat to any of the advancements that the Obama made in advancing his idea of a one world government.
That's about as well as it could be summarized, I would say. I think that, and this is a woman, an unimpeachable witness on the subject, I would say. And she said it best. This march was not really about women's rights or equality for women, because if it was, I think she was right. And I was saying this the at the same time, and I agree. If it was, if that was what it was about, then she was right. We would have seen the march move to the front of the Saudi Arabian embassy, or there would have been the women bragged that there were, and people bragged. You know, this was a march, by the way, led by a man and funded by an elitist billionaire to the tune. You know, these groups funded. Fox News did a piece. You can find on YouTube and on the Fox News website, titled "Report: George Soros Gave $246 Million to Women's Protest Groups," and like she said, like you heard, Rachel Campos Duffy put it, we have to realize, you know, what was the reason? Why you have to ask yourself, why would a billionaire like George Soros fund all of these organizations? Why would he do it? And this gets to a broader point these days, as we see a sort of insurrectionist movement cloaked in what is referred to as a populist movement. This gets back to the point of the coming revolution, really, that I think is aptly described in the words of that allegedly spurious letter from Pike to Mazzini back in 1871. We have these forces being collided together. The word Balkanization was coined for a specific term or a specific reason, and it's happening here. You have a very similar approach, a beggar thy neighbor approach, seeking benefits for minorities, small minorities in a big homogenous group, at the expense, typically, of the larger majority, which pits those groups against one another, obviously. It vilifies folks against one another, polarizes people, otherizes people, as it's been described. And this lends itself to this schizophrenic culture that seems incapable of having an intelligent discussion. Really, on any level, it's just a continual downward spiral into vitriol and mindless rhetoric, really. But for more on that, I want to get to, in a minute, Shelby Steele's appearance on with Tucker Carlson earlier this week, talking about his article, Shelby Steele's article, his op-ed in the Wall Street Journal titled The Exhaustion of American Liberalism, which is a fantastic article. And it really explains what's going on here. And unfortunately, it's not what we're led to believe as far as the mainstream rhetoric is concerned, unfortunately. But that's common. We know how that works, right? That's unfortunately that's kind of the sad reality that we see. But before we go to Shelby Steele, speaking of Tucker Carlson, I would like to give you his interview of Bustle editor Julie Alvin discussing Wednesday's Day Without a Woman / International Women's Day demonstrations. Go ahead.
Well, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Who does America belong to? Does it belong to you or does it belong to the world? Who should have a right to move here, and do those people have an obligation to assimilate into the culture already present? Well, Univision anchor Jorge Ramos will be here to debate the answers to those questions and more in just a minute. Also, these are very strange days here in Washington, some of the strangest we've ever seen. Republicans had 7 years to agree on an Obamacare replacement, yet they're already squabbling over the bill they just revealed yesterday. Despite controlling the whole government, they've done very little to implement President Trump's agenda. Why is that? Well, we're going to speak to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan. He should explain what is going on and why Congress seems not to be focused, or maybe they are. But first, they're calling it a day without a woman. Thousands of women skipped work today and instead participated in marches and other events they described as feminist. The official Twitter account for the Women's March on Washington in January proudly tweeted that women birth half the population.
Without us. When women succeed, the world succeeds.
Well, our first guest is the executive editor of Bustle.com, a women's website that shut down today to show solidarity with women. Julie Alvin joins us now. Julie, thanks for coming on.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So I just heard that woman say at the march, women have value and America doesn't function without them. And I think every person agrees with that. The species dies actually without them. I completely agree. And I think I understand this march to be an attempt to show that women have value and are impressive, something that obviously I agree with. But if you want to show that you're impressive, shouldn't you do something impressive? Like, I don't know, cure a disease or fix the debt crisis or do a really good job at work? Taking the day off is not impressive. Anyone can do it. How does this make the point exactly?
Well, I think that, you know, the point of this is to show the impact that women have on the economy and that women have, you know, in the workplace. And one of the best ways to do that is to show what it would be like if women were not present, if women were absent. You know, I also think that, you know, this wasn't a day where women were sitting around twiddling their thumbs. Bustle, right, in particular, really encouraged readers and encouraged our staff to take the day to spend time volunteering for women in marginalized communities, for women who are underprivileged, for women who are unable to strike today. We encourage women to call the representatives. We encourage women to donate to causes that support women. And, you know, this wasn't a day, you know, of fun. This was a day of action, and it was a day, right, of specifically serving women and serving the needs of women in the interest of, you know, supporting women's equality. So, right, I think all those things are very impressive.
I mean, I can see that. But if the point is to show that women are needed in the workplace, and obviously they are, women prepared the show that you're watching right now, then why not do like an extra good job at work to show you're valuable at work? If you want to show people, boy, you couldn't live without me, then act in a way that makes them think that.
I mean, I think that protests and strikes historically have been a way to show the impact that people have on certain workplaces and certain environments by being absent and by showing, you know, if you're not going to value me as much as you should, if you're not going to pay me equally, if you're not going to, you know, protect me from sexual harassment in the workplace, if you're not going to offer me paid leave, you know, this is what it would be like if I did not participate in this economy in general. And sometimes the greatest way to show impact is to show absence. And I think that, okay, this is actually more effective than you're giving it credit for. And, you know, strikes historically have been enormously effective in showing the value of the people who are striking.
Yeah, I mean, some have, some haven't. But the ones that have a very specific set of demands tend to succeed, and the ones that are amorphous tend not to succeed. So I went on the website Day Without a Woman to try and figure out what this is about. And one of the things I learned is that you're supposed to avoid shopping except at women and minority-owned businesses. In other words, if the business is owned by a white man, you can't shop there. You shouldn't shop there. Why the hostility toward white men? What do they have to? Why white men exactly?
Well, I don't think that it's necessarily hostility towards white men. I think it's more about being supportive towards women and towards minorities who are historically disenfranchised in this country, who are paid less, who are not treated as well in the workforce, who don't have stability in the workforce. So I don't think that this is about punishing white men. I think that it is about supporting women and people of color.
Well, sure. If you're boycotting white men, it's obviously an attack on white men. But that's not true, actually. So if you look at household median income, the top three slots are not white men. They're all people of color. I think the number one is Indians, and number two is Taiwanese, and the third is, I think, Filipino. So actually, white men are not making the most money in this country. I don't know if you've checked the numbers. So it's a little bit weird to say boycott white businesses, white male-owned businesses, when they're not the most successful. What is that about?
I think that if you were to look at the statistics, it is largely white men that are positions of power as far as CEOs, as far as people in power at various businesses, as far as people who hold the majority of leadership positions, who hold the majority of CEO positions for Fortune 500 companies. So, traditionally and historically and factually today, white men are in better positions when it comes to, workplace equality.
But that's not actually true. I mean, historically, yeah, I think that's right. But if you want to speak historically, so the Department of Labor ranks this by ethnicity, and historically it was a country settled by British settlers. So if you run down the list, British Americans, English Americans are number 41 for income. I'm not saying, white people aren't successful. They are, but it's much more complicated than that. And so why not acknowledge that, I guess?
I think that we're kind of getting off of the point here, Tucker. I think
the point of today is
about women's equality. And if we're talking about where women stand in today's economy,
right?
The U.S. is 28th best as far as gender equality goes in the world. They're 60th best as far as gender empowerment goes for women in the world. So,
right.
Maybe I can appeal to your patriotism on this point. I don't want the U.S. to be 60th best in anything or 28th best in anything.
Well, I
want us to be the best at this.
It depends what the measurements are. I mean, come on.
Well, anything depends what the measurements are. These are from the World Economic Forum is the statistics that I'm stating.
Okay, but what does that even mean? But I'll throw one out for you that I think is interesting. So for younger women entering the workplace, there was a recent survey done in the 150 biggest cities in the United States, and in 148 of them, young women in their 20s entering the workforce made more than their peers, their male peers. So things are changing. I mean, boys graduate from high school at lower rates, from college at lower rates, and young men, unmarried, childless young men, make less in cities than comparable women. So that's good. You should be happy about it, right?
Well, I think that there's absolutely progress being made. I will not deny that at all. Those are things that I'm very excited about. I was aware of that. And I think that if you look at, the Pew Research studies, they actually say that while the gender pay gap is smaller, it's 93-100, it's still there. And I think that another thing that's an important point here is the fact that, women typically encounter these sort of reductions in their access to higher paying positions and leadership roles at later stages in their career. So
okay,
while they may start out equally.
Can I say one thing? Okay, I know. But look, here's just the bottom line for me. I don't have a lot of time, but I just want to get your reaction. All the women in my life, and I live with four of them, they're powerful. And the presupposition behind what you're doing is that women are weak, they're victims, they're put upon by men. That's not the experience of the women who I know.
I don't think that we are weak. I think that we're showing our strength today, and we're showing our strength in standing up for, women's equality in general, and standing up for women who are not lucky enough to be able to strike today, and standing up for women. It's International Women's Day. There are 62 million girls worldwide who don't have access to education. We're standing up for all women. And so, I love to hear that the women in your life are strong, empowered women and that you respect them. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But that might not be the case in all households. And that's certainly not the case in all countries.
Julie, thanks a lot for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Interesting stuff. You can hear a lot of rhetoric there, can't you, in the language. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And so there are women around the world. Are we genuinely concerned here in America with those women around the world? I'm wondering how women are feeling disenfranchised here in America. And the danger is if we forget about the remarks that I typically refer folks to, perhaps ad nauseum, that Mike Huckabee made during his 2007 bid for the presidency, his foreign policy speech at the CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies, when he said, "We face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up. To create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory then rally oppressed peasants behind them."
That is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit. It's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine.
Welcome back.
I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's National Intel Report. We're talking about the week in review. We're focusing on International Women's Day and a day without a woman marches, demonstrations, protests. Does any of this make sense? Well, we'll get to that. But and then we want to draw a connection or shed light on the Marxist connection, the Marxist provocateur connection. But first, a word from Killary.
Eleanor Roosevelt also said, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. And I believe in every woman and girl here tonight, and billions more who are not, along with men and boys who understand and support that we are not asking for anything extra. We are asking for equality, and we will never...
So there you have it. She says equality. That's what it's all about. It's an egalitarian movement, except it's not. So here's one example, and I want to just dive in a little bit on this. This is a movement that was started by socialists. That's not a secret. You can find it on the Wikipedia entry for International Women's Day, which says the earliest Women's Day observance was held on February 28, 1909 in New York and organized by the Socialist Party of America. No secret. The International Women's Day website itself, internationalwomensday.com, includes these words on its about page about International Women's Day, which was Wednesday, March 8th this week. In 1900, under the timeline journey, it says, 1909, in accordance with a declaration by the Socialist Party of America, the first National Women's Day, NWD, which is similar to WMD, I suppose, Weapons of Mass Distraction and Destruction, was observed across the United States on 28 February. Women continued to celebrate NWD on the last Sunday of February until 1913. In 1910, a second international conference of working women was held in Copenhagen. A woman named Clara Zetkin, leader of the women's office for the Social Democratic Party in Germany. Think about that for a second. Tabled the idea of an International Women's Day. She proposed that every year, in every country, there should be a celebration on the same day, a Women's Day, to press for their demands. Conference of over 100 women from 17 countries representing unions, socialist parties, working women's clubs, and including the first three women elected to the Finnish parliament, greeted Zetkin's suggestion with unanimous approval, and thus International Women's Day was the result. So these socialists, and even really Nazi roots of the International Women's Day, seem to escape people's notice, kind of like back in 2007 when Hillary Clinton was asked during the CNN YouTube debates, do you consider yourself a progressive? And she, paraphrasing, said, progressive? Shoot! I'm liberal. She was asked, do you consider yourself a liberal? She said, liberal? Shoot, I'm a progressive in the fashion of the early 20th century progressives. And for more on who those people were, read R.J. Pastrito's piece over at the Heritage Foundation titled The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government.
Couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.